I'm going to have the morning scripture reading now from Sister Vemma. It's the Gospel of John, chapter 20. She's going to read you from 11 to 23. So please hear the account of the day of resurrection from the Apostle John. Thank you, Sister Vemma.
Good morning. John 20, 11 to 23. But Mary stood outside by the tomb, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then, the same day, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained."
Father, as we consider your word now, we ask that you would fill our hearts with the Lord Jesus Christ, cause us to walk worthy of this very great high calling that you have called us with. May we honor you, Lord, in how we respond to this good news. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to call your attention back to the reading that we had earlier from John 20, but I also would like to have something for you out of Galatians today, Galatians chapter 4. If you want to look that up, it's on page 1339 of your pew Bible. So today, of course, a wonderful day to celebrate the redemption that Christ accomplished for us. The Father sent him down from heaven on a mission, and he was obedient to the Father all the way to death. He endured the agony of the cross and the shame of it, knowing that on the other side is tremendous joy and glory. Right? Glory to the Father, glory to the Son, glorification for those who are being saved. Jesus said, "I give my body, I give my blood, my flesh for the life of the world. And behold, I live. And because I live, you too shall live." Right? I've done my Father's will. I have finished the work he gave me to do. And he sent me into the world, and now I send you. And each of the four gospel writers records at least one of the incredible life-changing encounters that Jesus' followers had with him on the day that he was raised from the dead. Earlier, we heard about Mary's weeping being changed to thrills of happiness. We heard about the disciples hiding for fear of the Jews, being transformed into these courageous, unstoppable eyewitnesses that we've been reading about in the book of Acts. I just want to call your attention to that scene from John 20 for a minute, right when Jesus came into the midst of the disciples and greeted them, because you see something take place there that is the immediate fruit of the redemption that Jesus had just achieved. And it's important to the gospel. It's important to the book of Acts that we're studying. It's important to you. Okay, we've just sung these songs about redemption, right? Christ redeemed us. He purchased us for himself, right? We were lost. We were captives to sin. We were out of God's possession. But we've been recovered, right? Because Jesus Christ has died and been raised again, the salvation of men and women has been enabled. We can be saved, but how are we actually saved? I mean, what's the, if you like, the mechanism of salvation? When we get recovered by Jesus, when he takes us, he does something to us. And unless he does this thing to us, we're not actually saved. And that thing is that he puts his Holy Spirit within a person, right? And that's John 20, verse 22. I want you to not miss that in John 20. John 20, verse 22, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That's the actual event by which a person becomes a new creature, right? You know, he said, you must be born again, right? No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Hey, that's what God does to you when he recovers you. Something that was not previously there is now there. And that something is the Spirit of God. Okay, and so we see in the Gospel of John that it's like Jesus' first order of business when he comes to meet his disciples on the day of his resurrection. Receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Christ's to give. No one else can give the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit isn't just sort of drifting around out there for the taking by some other means, right? The Spirit is a gift of God through Jesus Christ and through him alone. I want you to look over, if you would, please, in Galatians chapter 4 to see how redemption is actually applied. How is it brought to bear in a life? There's a difference between merely knowing facts about Jesus and talking about God generally and going to church and being a good person and having respect for religion and so on. There's a difference between all that and actually belonging to God and him to you. Okay, and there is something that he actually does to you that makes you something that you were not before. Okay, and I want you to see how Paul puts this in his letter to the Galatians. Now, in this chapter, we're kind of picking up in the middle of something. Paul is discussing how the Old Testament law, the Jewish law, existed for a set period of time and for a specific purpose, namely to teach God's people about him, right? To teach them about God and about man's condition. But now that Christ has come and has won his victory, God is now dealing with men and women on a new basis, if you like, a new set of terms that is better than the written law. Okay, that's what the subject of conversation is here at the beginning of chapter 4. And we're kind of, like I said, we're picking up in the middle of something. But I want you to hear how he puts this. So chapter 4, verse 1, now I say that in a household, in a family, in a household, an heir, right, the junior, the son, if you like, an heir, as long as he is a minor child, does not differ effectively from a slave, even though he is the master of all, right? He's the son of the property owner, but he's really not different from a slave because he is under guardians and stewards until he becomes mature, right? Until the time appointed by his father. Even so, Paul says, when we were minor children, so to speak, we Jews, we were in bondage under the elements of the world, right? God had given us the law. We were under the law. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. Something's changing here. He sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those, there's our word of the day, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive, now it says the adoption of son, the word really means something more like our full rights as adult sons. Okay, not really being adopted from outside the family into a family, but it means the sonship, you know, our full rights as full-grown heirs. Okay? Because you are sons. Now remember what John 1:12 says, to those who believed on him, he gave them the right to be called sons of God, right? Because you're sons, you're no longer minors in training, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, and the Spirit cries, Abba, Father. Okay, so you're no longer a minor child, you're no longer a slave, but a son, a full-grown son. And if a son, then therefore an heir of God through Christ. So what is the objective of Christ's work of redemption? Okay, Christ, why did he die? He fulfilled the law's demands, right? He satisfied the law by his perfect life and his sacrificial death, paid the penalty that the law demanded. With that now being done, he can freely give the Holy Spirit to all who call on God in his name. That's a state of affairs that did not apply before, did not exist before. The Holy Spirit was not yet given, John says. I think it's John 7, maybe 37. But beginning on the day of Jesus' resurrection, right, it's the beginning of a new era, the day Christ is raised. Now the Spirit can be given. It's his to give, right? God sent his Son to redeem those who had been under the law so that we might receive something, right? How does John put it? We might receive the right to be called sons of God who are born not in the ordinary way, not by human will, not of a certain lineage, but born of God. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. Right, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Right, Peter is going to preach that message. We already had this in Acts chapter 2. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And what? You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay, that which was promised in the Old Testament prophets is now realized in the fullness of time, now that Jesus Christ has died and risen again. Okay, so the boy in the cantata said, you're twice mine now, right? First I made you, now I've bought you, right? Christ, so to speak, bought us with his life. But like I said, when he takes us, when he acquires possession of us, he, if you like, sets his seal on us, right? He writes his name on us, if you like. Receive the Holy Spirit. Now, if you'll back up a chapter in Galatians and look at chapter 3 and verse 13, it's also in this chapter, similar thought. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That's from Deuteronomy, it's in the law. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, right? What's the blessing of Abraham? God promised Abraham, through your seed, I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth, all the families of the earth. That's Gentiles, right? All the nations. So now that's happening, right? God promised it. Now that promise to Abraham is coming to pass, right? It's specifically what? The promise that we might receive the Holy Spirit through faith, right? The Spirit is the promise, right? The Spirit who was promised. Christ has redeemed us so that the Holy Spirit could be given as God promised, and not just to Abraham's literal physical descendants, but here, as it says, to anyone, any Gentile, any nation, Jew or Gentile, anybody who puts his faith in the Lord Jesus. God made you. God sent his Son to seek and to save you because you were lost. And now that he found you and got you, I'm going to put my Spirit in you. And so that's why Paul says in Ephesians, it's 1:13, in him you also, after you heard the good news, the news of salvation, and after you believed in Christ, you also were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the down payment, the guarantee of our inheritance until Christ comes to claim us. Right? I made you, I bought you back, I'm coming to get you. But how do you know that you're mine? How do you know that you belong to me? Receive the Holy Spirit. Okay? That was the mission, to redeem these lost ones from the law of sin and death, so that the Holy Spirit could come and dwell in your hearts by faith, making you new, putting God's life, God's nature into you. What was lost is regained. What Adam lost, Christ restored. Right in the fullness of time, it says, after all these centuries, right? Time when all there was God's promises, and those promises were waiting and waiting, but the Spirit was not yet given. Okay, and then having been raised up to life on that Sunday morning long ago, Jesus' first order of business was to give those who believed in him the life from above, which only he can give. So that would be how you're actually saved, right? You're made new by receiving the Holy Spirit from Jesus Christ. But then what? What are you saved for? Why do you receive the Holy Spirit? Right? What's Christ's objective in giving you the Spirit? It's not just to put a mark on you, right? He's not merely writing his name on his redeemed ones, okay? Not just for identification purposes. The Spirit is a living being, right? He's not just a mark. He is the life of God in you, right? Christ in you. So the objective of redemption is not just to deliver you forgiveness of sins for forgiveness' sake alone. And so we would say, well, thank you very much for the forgiveness, Lord. You know, wow, what a relief that is. You know, now off to my old life again. Okay, no, God promised to give the Spirit in order to make these lost, sinful, broken men and women like himself again. Right? He sent Christ into the world to die, to be raised, to impart the Holy Spirit, not just so that our guilt can be pardoned and our punishment removed from off of us, but in order to transform us into beings like himself, righteous and good and holy and true and pure in heart and gracious and wise and loving. Hey, the Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of man might be changed into sons of God. Okay, in other words, little versions of him, right? Possessing all of his excellent qualities. That's the mission. So the question is, have you received the Holy Spirit? Has Christ given you the Holy Spirit? If he did it for a reason. Namely, that you would walk by the Spirit, right? Be filled with the Holy Spirit, be renovated by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is what makes you new. He's what makes you, if I dare say it, divine. Okay, Peter says it, though. I don't have to be afraid to say it. Peter says it. He says, the exceedingly great and precious promises of God that have been given to you, right? Promised them of old, but now they've come. Through them you may be sharers in the divine nature, right? Partakers in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world. It's 2 Peter chapter 1. Easter is a promise kept. God promised to rescue fallen man, promised to restore the image of God that had been spoiled, promised to redeem us from the grave. And ever since Resurrection Day, that promise is being fulfilled. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive your sonship. Receive the living nature of God your Father. Okay, many of the people in this room have indeed believed and received and are being transformed into the glory of their Savior Jesus Christ. If you have not, then understand that is why Christ came into the world, to fulfill the righteous demand of the law against sin, and thus to make salvation freely available. He says to you, peace be with you. I have come that you might have life, right? The very life of God in heaven instilled in you. That is his to give. He earned the right to give it, and he gives it freely. Receive the Holy Spirit. Right, in him, it's Ephesians, in him, having heard the news of your salvation and having believed on him, you can be sealed, infused with the Holy Spirit, the guarantee of your eternal inheritance. Listen to Christ's invitation. Peace I give you. Come out of your weakness and your sin. Come out of your ungodliness and your futility and receive the life that Jesus Christ is offering you. He surely will give it. He can and he will. God will send his Spirit into your heart, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of sonship, making you God's own child forever and ever. He will give you unending life, right? He made you. Now he has bought you for himself. Let him take possession of what he spent his life's blood to acquire. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for our wonderful redemption that we have in Jesus Christ. Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you seems hardly enough to say. We owe you our lives. We owe you our souls. We owe you everything that we can muster up, Lord Jesus, to praise you with. So be pleased with your people, Father, today. I beg you, accept us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cause us to know that our sins are indeed washed away forever. We are redeemed. We do belong to you. And I pray, Lord God, that if there are some here that have not come to you and asked to receive your Holy Spirit, that indeed they would do it. Your word says that you're a gracious and kind Father who certainly will give the Holy Spirit to any who ask. And so we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, asking you to do your good will in each and every heart, Lord. Glorify your name. Glorify the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. In him we pray. Amen.